I've entitled this message, Boastful Believers. Now, anybody who knows anything about Christianity would surely say that believers should not be boastful. It just seems wrong. It doesn't fit. It's not something that you would normally think of when you think of believers. Humility? Yeah. Boastfulness? No. The very word boast means speaking of yourself in superlatives, more or less. I used to go around before I got saved, of course, and probably a couple times after I got saved, and try to get somebody going. I'd say, I can't wait till tomorrow. And they'd say, why? And I'd go, all right. Because I get better looking every day. Well, that's kind of boastful, don't you think? Oh, man. It seems that, however, according to this passage that we're looking at, there's nothing wrong with boasting. It's just what you boast about. In Galatians 6:14, Paul says, and I quote, "But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." So, boast is from a word, kaukaomai, which has no real exact English equivalent. But when you add it to this idea of boasting in the cross, as Paul says here, then you're actually promoting Jesus' cross. You glory in it, or you boast, or you draw attention to it in a boastful way. Whatever it is that we glory in or boast of, and I quote, fills our horizons, engrosses our attention, and absorbs our time and energy. In a word, our glory is our obsession. That's what Stott says in The Cross of Christ on page 349. Now, Paul is telling us that he was obsessed with the cross. I think people today would dismiss this as strange. And even the people of Paul's day would dismiss it as strange. For the Romans despised and spoke of it euphemistically. There's a Latin phrase, abori, infelici, suspendito. I probably totally butchered the pronunciation of that, but no matter. Hang him on the unlucky tree is what it means. That's what they called the cross, the unlucky tree. Never forget that Paul is talking about something people don't like to talk about. But he says he boasts about it. It's something that's reserved for the brutal execution of the dregs of society. And certainly not Roman citizens. So Paul is a little weird in that respect as far as society is concerned, but not as far as Christianity is concerned. The cross is tantamount to the gas chamber, the electric chair, hanging someone, the needle, the gurney, or even the firing squad. But this is not something that's just germane only to Paul. It's not some sort of idiosyncrasy that he has alone, because it's central to the Lord, and it should be, and I think has always been, central to the church. It's the only way for a man to be accepted by God, this cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. How else can a sinful man who's lost and guilty stand before God, who is himself holy and just? When you realize the answer is the cross, then you can't help but be obsessed with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, when you trust in your own merits, you will not boast in the cross. And so the cross becomes a model for us, becomes a model for our denial of self. And in this particular verse, 6:14 of Galatians, there's only one cross spoken of, but there are three crucifixions. First, it is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ than it is the world that has been crucified to me, and then I, meaning Paul, or the believer, to the world. Skipping the first one, we don't need to go over that. There are actually, in this cross of Christ, something that is, I don't know if it's too hard to get a hold of, but it's really different from what the world does or what the world values. The world does not mean the people of the world, but the world system, or the values of the world, or its emptiness and materialism. The link between Christ's crucifixion and our own is inextricably linked. And only as we look at his crucifixion can we embrace ours. So crucified to the world, and I to it, means to walk in the light, bear fruit of the Holy Spirit, and live in the freedom Christ secured for us. Now, how do we get from where we are to there? That is, to this boasting of the cross. Well, the cross is the ground of our justification. I'd like for you to go back and read Galatians 1:4 and then 3:13 to see what I mean. And then the cross is also our means of sanctification. And here you need to go to Galatians 2:20, 5:24, and then the text that we're reading here, 6:14. The cross is also the subject of our witness. In 3:1, 5:11, and 6:12, it becomes the object of our boasting. We are to boast in nothing else. God forbid that we should boast about anything but it. And so I think you can see just from that short list of verses, even in this one book, this one letter, the cross was always on Paul's mind. It was the sun to him, as his world orbited around it. It meant more to him than anything else. And if it doesn't, then here's what's true. If it's not true for us, then we are self-righteous. That's as opposed to looking to the cross for justification. If it's not true for us, we're self-indulgent, as opposed to taking up our cross to follow Christ. If it's not true for us, we're self-promoting, as opposed to preaching Christ crucified. And fourthly, we are self-glorifying, as opposed to glorying in the cross. Now, Paul says that he bore the marks of glorying in the cross in 6:17. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. This is the stigmata. That's actually what the word is, stigmata in Greek. But it's not the stigmata of Roman Catholicism. He bears these marks on his body, not on his hands and his ankles. These are marks that he has obtained through persecution, people causing trouble for him. And these are the marks of persecution from boasting in the cross. G. Campbell Morgan said this. I'll leave it up to you as to whether you think it's right or not, but it's an interesting statement, to say the least. And I quote, "It is the crucified man that can preach the cross," said Thomas, "except I see in his hands the print of the nails, I will not believe." Dr. Parker of London said that what Thomas said of Christ, the world is saying about the church, and the world is also saying to every preacher, "Unless I see in your hand the print of the nails, I will not believe it." It is true. It is the man who has died with Christ that can preach the cross of Christ. G. Campbell Wargham has that statement in Evangelism, 59, pages 59 through 60. I know of a song that is probably as close to these ideas about boasting in the cross as anyone could imagine. So if you would just listen to the lyrics. It goes like this. Why would I spend my life longing for the day that it would end? Why would I spend my time pointing to another man? Isn't that crazy? How can I find hope in dying with promises unseen? How can I learn your way is better in everything I'm taught to be? Isn't that crazy? I have not been called to the wisdom of this world, but to a God who's calling out to me. And even though the world may think I'm losing touch with reality, it would be crazy to choose this world over eternity. And if I boast, let me boast of filthy rags made clean. And if I glory, let me glory in my Savior's suffering. Isn't that crazy? And as I live this daily life, I trust you for everything. And I will only take a step when I feel you leading me. Isn't that crazy? I have not been called to the wisdom of this world, but to a God who is calling out to me. And even though the world may think I'm losing touch with reality, it would be crazy to choose this world over eternity. Call me crazy. You can call me crazy. Call me crazy. I have not been called to the wisdom of this world, but to a God who is calling out to me. Even though that world may think that I'm losing touch with reality, it would be crazy. It would be crazy. It would be crazy to choose this world over eternity. Isn't that crazy? Call me crazy. You can call me crazy. Call me crazy. It's by Mercy Me, and of course the lyrics to a song called Crazy. How about you? Can I call you crazy? Kids throw that word around like crazy these days. I know that it's often thought that Christians are crazy. I don't mean like a Jewish mother who always offered a sick person chicken soup. The sick one thought she was crazy. And she said, "Why do you always offer chicken soup?" The others who stood around said, it can't help. But the lady who offered the soup said it couldn't hurt. It's great when we're crazy about Jesus. When we're crazy about Jesus, it changes the way we arrange our lives. When we're crazy about Jesus, it changes the way we talk and what we talk about and enjoy talking about. How about let's get crazy and have people call us that? Don't be embarrassed by the cross, and never, never, ever de-emphasize it. So until I see you again, Lord willing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.